Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, and we thank you for the many reminders in the Bible of prayer and the importance of prayer and your faithfulness in those to those who pray and who seek you. So, Lord, again today, as we have an account of King David, although at this account he's anointed, but he's not actually king yet. But we see his heart, a man after God's own heart. And Lord, help us as we look at these prayers, maybe week after week, and help us to ask ourselves, where is our heart? Do we have the willing, obedient heart, regardless of the danger that we see in David? Or do we have the prideful, arrogant, obsessed with self heart that we see in Saul? And so, Lord, kind of a picture of Jesus Christ and Satan in a sense here as we look at the prayers today. So lead us and guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 23 today, we will see David in great danger, inquiring of the Lord, not once but twice. And in fact, the second time asking two separate questions. And so I thought we would just begin by singing an old hymn, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee," as David would inquire of the Lord to speak to him. And David listened and obeyed. May we listen and obey as well. So the words are on the top of your notes there, and let's sing together this old hymn. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour. Let me see thy face, Lord, feel thy touch of power. All to thee is yielded. I am not my own. Blissful, glad surrender. I am thine alone. Fill me with the knowledge of thy glorious will. All thy own good pleasure in my life fulfill. Like a watered garden full of fragrance rare, lingering in thy presence, let my life appear. Amen to that, huh? Well, as we see David continuing in the book of 1 Samuel, we had him fleeing to Gath for a short time, and then he kind of got scared because King Achish said, "Oh, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Whether this is the same Achish we will have in today's chapter or not, we're not sure. But David was only there a short time, and then he left with his 400 men, and they went to the caves of Adullam. Now, if you look on your notes, on the bottom of the second page, there's a little map down there, and you'll see Adullam right pretty much in the center of the map. And then we will see him. We have the little interlude where Saul goes and murders the priests at Nob, and then destroys that city in his obsession of hatred against David. And then in chapter 23, where we are today, we see the city of Keilah being brought up. And Keilah, you see, is just a little bit south of Adullam. And Then later on in the chapter, we will see David fleeing from Keilah and going down to Ziph. You see Ziph. Now you got to go up to go down, because you got to go up over the mountains, because Hebron is that range which go from Hebron a line on up to Bethlehem and Jebus, which is Jerusalem. You will see that's kind of the peak of the range. And then you start down on the other side again, and you go on down to the Dead Sea, which is way, way down. That's like 1,200 feet under sea level, where the top of the range there where Jerusalem is, it's like 2,000 plus above sea level. So he would go from Keilah down to Ziph, and then from Ziph to Maon, and then from Maon to the wilderness in En Gedi. And I just have a little picture. It didn't come out very well because it was a picture in color, and color doesn't come out well in black and white, but you can get a little bit of the idea of the roughness of the terrain down there in the wilderness. And when you say he was on one hill looking across to another hill, that could be very close, point to point, but it could be very long up and down, because these are huge canyons, huge mountains kind of a thing. And this is all just the wilderness where David was fleeing with his. And can you imagine trying to hide 400 men or 600 men? I mean, that's a big group. And then we keep seeing the local people getting word back to Saul, because they want to curry his favor, because he's the king, even though he doesn't care about the people. All he cares about is killing David. And so we have an interesting situation here in chapter 23. They told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, a town, a city in Judah, as we showed on the map there, and are robbing the threshing floors." So what is David supposed to do about it? He's fleeing for his life. And you got a king. Where's the king to defend the city? Well, the king isn't interested in defending the city. As we'll see in a few minutes, he just wants to make war, not against the Philistines, not against the Midianites, not against the Amalekites, not against any of Israel's enemies. He wants to make war against David. That's how twisted he is. So we see here the first time now David prays to the Lord in verse 2. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines?" Now, this is going to be a very dangerous mission if he goes there. And he's got not only his own skin to worry about, he's got the 400 men's welfare to worry about. So what do you do when you're in extraordinary danger and you don't know what to do? Well, I hope you pray. Here's what David did. He inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." Now, again, this is a very dangerous thing, because Keilah is a walled city, and once David is inside conquering the city, he's, really easy prey for Saul to box him up in there. And that's what Saul's going to try to do, but God intervenes and gets him out of there in time. And, of course, predictably, David's men said to him, "Look, we're afraid to go in Judah. We're afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the army of the Philistines? Hey, boss, what are you doing?" So David prays again. Yeah. Then David inquired of the Lord once again. How wonderful that is when you come. You get clear instruction, and then you get blindsided in a way by another huge problem, and that's the men in this case. So what's he do? He inquires of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." Would you have gone, or would you have just run for the hills? He's already in the hills, but run to another hill or whatever, get away. Maybe he's Jonah, Jonah type. Forget it, Lord, get somebody else. I'm not going to go in there and risk my life and all the men's life. I've got enemies without in Saul. I've got enemies from within with the Philistines. This is a dangerous situation. But we read in verse 5, his obedience, "And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines." Now notice this. When the Lord gives you instruction, when the Lord answers your prayer that he's going to deliver the Philistines, that does not mean you don't have to go to battle. It does not mean you don't have to go fight and even risk your life. He will be with you in the battle, but he's not going to, and he will fight your battles for you in a sense, because the battle's already outcome is known here. But David and the guys still got to go in there and fight. So they fought with the Philistines. and they struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, you would think the inhabitants of Keilah would be eternally grateful to David, right? Well, we see now a little interlude here where Abiathar was one of the escaped from all those priests back in the previous chapter where Saul, in his anger, he kills like 80 of the priests, but Abiathar escaped and fled to David, and now here is that same Abiathar. Now, it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah that he went down with an ephod in his hand. So he's got the high priest ephod there with the Urim and the Thummim in the pockets there in it, apparently. And listen to this, the tattletales from Keilah. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand. Now, he is such a religious king, isn't he? He doesn't give a hoot about, I don't know about a hoot, is that's not in my Bible, but he doesn't care about the Lord at all, what the Lord says, except when something kind of happens to go his way, then, oh, it's the Lord. How often are you backing up something you do, the Lord told me? Be careful with that. And I know the Lord speaks to us, but also we're not quite sure whether the Lord's speaking to us or not, so we do what we want to do, and then we say, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, I see that all the time. I think I see that. See it, my tendency in myself, certainly. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a town and that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war. What a king. Not to fight any of their enemies, but to fight his personal enemy, David. You know, that's another common thing we do too often. We assume that our enemies are God's enemies, right? If he's my enemy, he's got to be God's enemy. That's what Saul is assuming here. Because we're going to go to war to besiege David and his men. We got him trapped now. He's in the city with walls and bars, and we'll besiege the city, and we got him. When David knew that Saul had plotted evil against him, he goes to the Lord again. He said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? So there's two distinct parts to that prayer. Number one, will the men of Keilah deliver me into their hands? And secondly, will Saul come down, as the rumor is, has it? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he, Saul, will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So, you know, he's just kind of out of the frying pan into the fire all the time here, isn't he? Being prepared by God for the kingship which he will have later. It's been said David was called from the sheepfold, but he was perfected for kingsmanship or for his kingly role in the wilderness. And it just seems like that, doesn't it, to a degree. And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his son, about 600, now it's 600, a little earlier it was 400, about 600 arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted his expedition. The war is over. The enemy has escaped. You know, the enemy is David. And now we see that in verse 15, he goes down to the wilderness of Ziph, which you saw on your map. And then a little bit later, he's going to go on down in verse 24 to the wilderness of Maon. That's a little bit further south. And then finally, he's going to go to the strongholds at En Gedi in verse 29, which we also have all of those places on the map. So those are the areas down there in that really rough, rough wilderness area where David and his men would spend a lot of time fleeing from Saul. So what do we have here in today's study? Well, one, we see David's heart as we read in the book of Acts in 13:22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Another great testimony here in the face of great danger where David would do the will of God. And how does that go with you and how does that go with me? I'm sure we're willing to do the Lord's will. We're willing to obey it when it's comfortable, but how about when it's not? How about when you're going against everybody, close friends, believing friends, and so forth, who are all telling you, no, don't do that. It's wrong, it's dangerous, and yet you feel the Lord is calling you. Be sure it is the Lord's calling, but here he does the Lord's will. And in this account here, he prays three times, shall I attack the Philistines in Keilah? Will Saul come down? Will the men of Keilah deliver me into the hand of Saul? All three key questions regarding his survival and the survival of the men under him. So we see his obedience to the Lord, even though it puts him and his men in extreme danger. They obey and go into battle, but the Lord delivers them. Amen. Amen. And we see again this great contrast between David's humility and obedient heart to that of the prideful, obsessed heart of Saul. So who am I like? Who are you like? Are you like more like David, or are you more like Saul? The flesh in us is all Saul. The spirit side is pretty much David, right? So where are we? Well, we want to pray today. We've got always a lot to pray for, but let's just pray as the Spirit would lead us and redeem this time. Father, we thank you for this account of the faithfulness of your servant David and such an example for us to come to you and to pray, Lord. Well, here we are this morning, Lord. We're not in necessarily physical danger as we sit here in this air-conditioned, quiet, peaceful room. But, Lord, we're still in a spiritual battle, and that battle is raging all around, particularly around your children all the time. And yet, Lord, you are so much stronger than he who is of the world, and we know that the only thing Satan can do is what you allow him to do, and he can't have us. He can hassle us, but he can't have us. So may we bring the things before you this morning that you would have us to pray for and redeem this time in Jesus' name. So let's pray.
Changes not thy compassions, they fail not.
are faithful, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as we go today, may we have this prayerful, continuing attitude to have a heart to inquire of you over and over again, not to get you to change your mind, but over and over again to get clarity and to get those marching orders, those steps of obedience, and then help us to do them, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.